4 to that. Amen. The Bible says, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. But until then, we got to work. But if you have your Bibles this evening, that's not what I'm going to preach on this evening. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 26 through verse 28 right there. We're going to talk part 2, dealing on Wednesday nights with the will of God in your life. Finding the will of God in for you. I told you last week it'd be better to take for me and just say, let me find the will of God. A lot of people don't know the will of God. I want to remind you of a point tonight, that God's will never go against His Word. If you think something's God's will and it's against His Word, it's not God's will. Amen? It will always line up with the Word of God. God will never work contrary to His Word. If it's contrary to the Word of God, it's wrong. I don't care what kind of experience you got. Don't care what it was. If it's contrary to the Word of God, it is wrong. And remember that. God's will never contradict the Word of God. It will never go against it. But I'm going to go into part 2. Part 1's on Spreaker and Anchor right there for you to listen to. But let's go into part 2 tonight of finding the will of God. Matthew 20, verses 26 through 28. Listen to this. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. I want to speak to you tonight on finding the will of God. We're going to deal with servanthood. Heavenly Father, we come before You, dear Lord, tonight, God, and we honor You, dear Lord, and we lift You up, dear God, and we exalt You, dear God, tonight, Lord. Father, we ask for Your anointing, dear God, and ask for Your Spirit, dear Lord, to flow, dear God, upon me, dear God, this evening, oh Lord. Oh Lord, tonight I ask, God, for You to give me the words You would have me to speak, oh God. I ask, God, for You to give me the anointing, dear God, for me to bring forth Your word, oh Lord, tonight, Father. Lord, and we give You honor, dear God, and we give You praise, dear God, and we honor You, Lord, and we thank You for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Last week, just a little bit, I back up a little more, we began talking about the will of God and how to find the will of God. One of that statements that I brought out last week was where Jesus talked about that when He departed, He would send another one that would come, and the Holy Spirit would be our teacher. How many know, remember, the Holy Spirit will instruct us, He will speak to us, and He will lead us, and He will guide us. And I told you, a lot of times many people try to view the will of God through self-centeredness. They try to view God's will according to what they view it as. In other words, I give you that example. You may want something and think it's God's will, but it may not be God's will for your life. The human tendency is to be self-centered and all along the way, and that's the reason I say it's better to say what is to try to find the will of God. But going on tonight, I want to deal with something else right here, and I want to deal about getting into the will of God for just a minute. And that will is about servanthood. It's not about making your name a pedestal, a household name. Some people want to do the work work of God just to be seen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some people just want to do the work of God to have a name or a title attached to them. But I'm telling you tonight, truly doing the work of God is not about getting yourself a name. It's not about having a title, but it's about servanthood. In many passages of Scripture, we will find out that Jesus was described as being the servant of God. In Luke 22 and verse 27, "For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth." In Matthew 20 and 28, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many." Then in Philippians chapter 2 verse 7, "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man." So what we begin to see in the life of Jesus was that as servanthood. In his ministry, it was about servanthood. So what do you think does it mean to be a servant? That's what many are saying. Well, the human definition of servanthood is this. A servant is one who finds out what his master wants him to do, then he does it. But however, the Word of God in its definition of servanthood is totally different. That human nature says man works for the servant. But the biblical definition is that God will work through his servants. How many know tonight that God works through people tonight? Anybody realize that tonight? That God works through people tonight. That's what it means to be a servant of God. That one that God can work through. And we begin, when a lot of people do not understand that God will use humans. God will use people to accomplish his will. My Lord, he you will find out throughout the course of the Bible and throughout history that God used people for specific tasks to accomplish his will upon this earth. How many know, except they have preachers to hear the preach, people can't be saved because they got to hear the Word of God tonight. My Lord, you begin to see the servanthood of God, how God will work through people. I've had people be used by God to bring forth and provide needs for me. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? How many's had somebody come out of the blue and make a need met for you tonight because they felt impressed by God to do that? Well, that is called God working through someone. How many's ever had somebody to lay hands on them and they become, then you receive the healing right there? Let me tell you, that is called God working through someone. It is a servant of God where God is working through that person. My Lord, tonight it ain't that person's got the power to heal no one. I have the power to save. I have no power to save no one. But I do got a mouth that God uses to introduce one to the one who can save you. I can lay hands on you and pray for you. But if you get healed, it is God working through the vessel right there. See, a lot of people don't realize that about the will of God. In order to, the servanthood is part of the will of God. In fact, Jesus told James and John, the sons of Zebedee, after wanting to sit on the right hand and the left hand in glory, he spoke to these about desiring greatness. Right here in Mark chapter 10, 43 and 44. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even this the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Before we move on right here just for a minute, you see that James and John, they wanted to have the glory. One wanted to sit at his right hand, one wanted to sit at his left hand, but Jesus said, that's not up for me to give. Right there, it is prepared, the mind to be given, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. But he began to tell us that if you want to be great, you've got to be a servant. If you want to be used by God, you've got to be a servant of God. You've got to be a willing vessel tonight. God is looking for willing vessels tonight. God is looking for people that he can use tonight. My Lord, we begin to understand, of course, Jesus told us about a harvest. How many know what he said about the harvest? He said the harvest was plenteous. And notice he never said pray for the harvest, but Jesus said they were something that were few of, and that was laborers. And what he did instruct the body of Christ to pray for was laborers to be sent into the field. In other words, Jesus was instructing us to pray for people that would be a willing vessel for him to work through, to come through the harvest, if you will. In order for the harvest to be reaped, how many know there's got to be workers in the field? We all think about the gardens and these farms around here and how they grow corn. How many know if they never got out there and they could plant all day long and be a field, but how many know if they never went through and worked a field and never went and got the crop, what would happen? It would wither and it would rot away. So what are you saying tonight, preacher? I'm telling you in this hour, there's very few laborers in the kingdom of God. There's very few laborers for the work of Jesus Christ. I'm going somewhere, but I'm telling you in this hour, I've never seen a generation that is sitting back on God like this generation we are right now. They want God to do what they want him to do, but they don't want to do what God has called them to do. My Lord, I'm telling you tonight, God is looking for some people that will be servants tonight. God is looking for a church that will be some people that will get out and labor tonight and be that willing vessel that he can be used in these last days. I have no doubt in my mind tonight that we are living in the last of the last days. I don't know how much time that we got left, but I can tell you, but what I'm seeing around the world tonight, what I'm seeing in the streets of America, tells us that we are just about out of time this evening. Jesus said, work now while you can work, because the hour's coming where no man can work it. Let me tell you, the hour's coming where the church is going to be snatched out of here. Amen. The hour's coming where the body of Christ is going to be gone. But right now, before the rapture, we've got a responsibility to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world. And I want you to know tonight that God is looking for some people that he can work through. He's looking for some servants that says, here am I. Just like Isaiah Isaiah said when they said, "Whom shall we send?" Isaiah the prophet said, "Here am I, O Lord, send me." God's looking for laborers tonight. Very few can be found. People are laboring for this. They're laboring for that, but they're not laboring for God. But I'm going to tell you something. For those that desire to be used by God, there's a principle, I think, that needs to be addressed. Before God will use you, He will work in you before He works through you. You may want to write that down. God will work in you before He works through you. Hello. We don't want to hear that. Too often, we got novices that want to jump into the fire. We got people that's not ready. How many know tonight that Jesus didn't send His disciples out by themselves until they were baptized with the Holy Ghost? They had to spend 3.5 years under Him teaching, listening to Him, seeing what He would do. And when He departed, He told them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power." So I want you to get that tonight. Before God will work through you, He must work in you. In other words, He's got to make you ready. Uh-oh. People, we don't want to hear about sanctification anymore. We don't want to hear about God cleansing us anymore. We don't want to hear about God getting things out of us. Because I'll tell you why. People are full of self. God's got to get the you out of you in order for Him to use you. Did you hear me? Somebody said, I'm going to say it. God had to get the Jimmy and still getting the Jimmy out of Jimmy before God can use me in ways. Say it to yourself. Use your name there. Say, God's got to get the me out of me. See, sometimes it's not easy. But I'm going to tell you a story. When you look at the potter and the clay, and we can see how God will work in somebody's life. In Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. The word of the Lord came to me, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter?" Said the Lord, "Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." The one thing I want you to know before something, a beautiful piece of pottery can become a beautiful piece of pottery, the clay had to be molded. It had to be shaped that way. Sometimes I'm going to tell you, I'm jumping ahead, but sometimes God's got to break us and put you back on the wheel before He can use you. Hey, man, you know what? People don't want to hear that. God's got to get some things out of you. You see, something else about the potter, that clay, it had to be responsive to the potter so he can make it an instrument of his choosing. The clay had to go along with the potter. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is this. You've got to be responsive to what God is wanting to do in your life when He puts you on that wheel. Because the things that He wants to make you tonight, into a vessel of honor. But in order to get to be that vessel, sometimes I'm going to tell you, God has got to break you. I'm telling you, sometimes God's got to break the pride in people. Amen? Sometimes God's got to break issues that are in people's life to get them to where He wants them to go. My Lord, it's not an easy task. But understand tonight that when you feel like you're in the fire, you're in the ringer, and you want to know why God has got you there, understand tonight that God is making you what He wants you to be. Not what you want to be, but what He wants you to be. My Lord, people kick and scream, but I want you to know tonight that God is going to make you what He wants you to be this evening. Sometimes we got to be broke to become that beautiful piece of potter. Think about that piece of pottery for a minute. Think about that clay vessel you've seen. You can go down into the Smoky Mountains and these pottery outlets, and you can see these vessels, these plates, these cups, many different things that have been, they take it and put it on a wheel, and the potter puts his hand to it, and he molds it, and he shapes it to what he wants it to be. Let me tell you what I understand. It does not become a piece of pottery all at once. That clay don't become that beautiful vessel all at once. Sometimes that clay, it takes a while for that clay, for the potter to get all the lumps and the junk out of it in order for it to be molded. What I'm trying to tell you tonight, let me tell you, you may be clay, but I'm telling you tonight, He's got you on the wheel. He's going to make you into a fine piece of pottery tonight. Let me tell you, it takes time to get where God is wanting you to go. It don't happen overnight. Let me tell you, it took God 40 years to get the Moses out of Moses. Hello. Some people are hard-headed and stubborn. Some people, a Billy Goat got more sense than him. I got something I'm going to say, but I'm going to put it like this. Sometimes an old donkey's got more sense than a human. How many know Balaam's donkey knew more than Balaam did? That donkey was a smart one. You could put Balaam as a dumb one. Seriously, because the donkey knew, Balaam didn't. We're like that. Sometimes the children of Israel marched around the wilderness in Israel for 40 years longer because of their disobedience. You know what they did? They walked around in a circle, in other words, for 40 years when it should have only been a few weeks. See, getting the self out of self's not easy. You see, God's got an easier time dealing with nature and dealing with elements than He does with people. Amen? That's the reason I tell people, if you're praying for somebody, don't quit praying. Because it's easier for God to deal with the elements than with people, because people's got a free will nature. But God knows how to break it. Sometimes God lets us stay in the wilderness in order for us to get out of the wilderness. How many know what God was doing with Moses? God was preparing Moses to fulfill His will. He heard the cry of the children of Israel. God had a man, Moses. That's who God was going to use, Moses. Moses was the right one for the job. But in order for Moses to be ready, Moses had to get Moses out of Moses. And I'm telling you tonight, sometimes God will have you march in the wilderness. in order to get the you out of you. Because God's going to work in you before he works through you. Amen? Amen? God's going to work in you before he works through you. Oh, I can prove this. It's scriptural. God will work in you before you work. He works through you. Many cases. Think about David. How many know Saul was the choice of the people to be king? Saul was the first king. The reason he was first king, because that's what everybody wanted. That's what Israel had demanded. We demand a king just like everyone else. We want to be like everyone else. God's choice was always David. Man's choice was Saul. David was always going to be the king of Israel. A lot of people don't realize that. God did not choose Saul. God chose David. Man chose Saul. And God gave man what they wanted. But before David took the kingship, can I tell you, he was a shepherd boy before he ever took the kingship. Not only that, he faced a lion and a bear before he got on the throne. He had to face a jealous King Saul before he got there. But I believe it was God working through him, working in him to prepare him for God to work through him. These things that he thought as a shepherd boy was grounds for where he was going. Did you hear me? The things he faced in battles was the grounds, was preparing him for where God was taking him. Listen, you don't start pastoring overnight. I didn't preach my first sermon overnight. Yeah, I had the call of God on my life. But before I got behind the pulpit, God had to work in me before he could work through me. Yeah, there was a call there. And he's still working on me. See, a lot of people think, well, if you get called to preach, just start preaching tonight. It don't work like that in many cases. You ain't going to become a pastor overnight if you've never even preached a message in your life. If you do, you don't need to be there. There's preparation. In the church of God, we've got it. Before you go from stages of license, you have to go through a program called MIP. You will serve unless you got a 4-year degree. But I think MIP works a little better because it learns you to serve in the church. Learns you to serve under the leadership. One of the first lessons they teach you is if you can't clean a bathroom, you don't need to be in a pulpit. Amen? Hello? If you can't do the small thing, if God can't trust you with the small thing, how can God trust you with the big things? Hello? Amen? See, David started out with the small thing as a shepherd boy. He was faithful in that. And now God was able to, he showed that, and God didn't raise him to the kingship. I believe because David was faithful as a shepherd boy. My gosh, can I stop here for a little bit? People ain't faithful. Amen? Amen? It'd be like a preacher come to me and tells me, I preach, but I don't go to church nowhere. Guess what? You're not getting my pulpit. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to open the door for you. I believe in praying, but I don't pray. I don't want you laying hands on me. Amen. I get my sermons off the internet. Well, you can just stay on the internet because you ain't preaching in this pulpit. Amen. The pastor I growed up under, here's how he was. If your shoes were dirty, you wasn't getting by for our preaching. I know one person he done that to, and it wasn't me. He said, because if you're too lazy to wash your shoes, clean your shoes off, then you don't need to be behind the pulpit. Hey, lessons like that is lessons learned. Amen? Amen? If you can't be faithful with the small things, how can God trust you with the big things? We want to be used by God. But I think we first got to learn to be faithful in those things which are small. Such as being a shepherd boy. That wasn't no high fancy thing. Just common. But yet while the world saw a shepherd boy there, you know what God saw there? In that field, the world just saw a little shepherd boy there. He wasn't nothing to them. But God saw a king. In his kingdom, he will be there with Jesus on the reigning with Jesus when it's over. His kingship, the kingdom of David will go home. He'll have high position with Christ. Christ will be Lord, but David will have a high position. Then I always say, I'll be right behind David. I'm joking. But we got to be faithful with the small before we get to the big. If you can't be faithful with the small, how can God trust you being faithful to those things which are bigger? Amen? Told you before, I preached to one before. I have. You know it. One, two. If I can't be faithful to the 15, 16, 17 we got here tonight, how could I be faithful to 1,000? Amen? God, listen. But sometimes God's getting to you out of you. Sometimes we want God to use us, but first and foremost, God has got to get work through you, in you, before he can work through you. What I'm telling you is, sometimes you're going to have to go through the fire in order to be what God wants you to be. The Bible tells us this in 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be also glad also with exceeding joy. We don't want to hear about it. How many here think their Christian walk ought to be a cakewalk? I'm going to bust your bubble. It's not. God's going to put you through the fire. Hey, man, you don't have to worry about the preacher putting you through the fire. It's going to be God that puts you in the fire. Hello? How many know God put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He allowed them to go through it. Amen? They got hot, but they never did burn. When they come out with promotion. But I'll tell you about fire. It refines one. Job got put through the fire. I'm going to give you a little nugget about the book of Job. The book of Job is a book about the sanctification of a believer. Yeah. He says, when I come out, I shall be as gold. It's about the sanctification. We don't want to hear it because fire refines one. God's going to burn some things out. God's going to burn some chaff out of your life. Proverbs 17 and 3 says, the fining pot is for silver, in the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Psalm 66, 10 and 12 says, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water." But listen to this last part. "But thou broughtest out into a wealthy place." See, the fire is where God's working in you, because he wants to work through you. But before he can work through you, you've got to work. He's got to work in you. See, that MIP was also about finding out who really meant it and how many would drop out along the way, because it could get tough in MIP. You had work to do. You had assignments at the church to do. And you had your own life to do. A lot of people dropped out. See, sometimes fire is not easy. But God is using that fire to burn the things out of us. But you need to get that before God will work in you, before he works through you. The fire is for burning. The fire is for purification. It's part of the process that God wants you, getting you where God wants you to go. He's got to get you out of you. Most of us ain't going to listen. Somebody tells us something. Amen? Amen? Think about a small child, for example. You tell a small child not to touch something. What's that small child going to do? They're going to do it. Amen? Anybody else like that? I was. Jazz was too. I've seen her point. You can have a sign that says, "Don't touch, you may be burned." Don't tell me there ain't a little part of you won't see how hot that is. Am I right? Think about these warning labels. They tell you not to do some crazy things. I figured if they put a warning label, somebody's already tried some of this stuff. Somebody's already tried it. We ain't going to pay attention. A lot of times we learn through experience. Amen? We learn going through it. Amen? I've been told times I've had to learn through experience. People tell you, "No, don't do that, don't do that." What they know. Hello? Anybody else ever said that? What do they know? You know what I had to do? I had to go through experience to find out they were right, to learn from that. How many know that's the way God does us? He warned us all day. But most of us, most people, you ain't going to learn unless you go through it. Going through it, you'll learn your lessons. Experiencing it. Sometimes God will let us fall to learn. I told you the first night I preached, I thought I'd be Rod Parsley. That was the greatest lesson I learned in my life. Don't get up there, "Good God, let me." I had the voice down. But I learned a lesson. I can't be Rod Parsley. God let me fall that night to learn me a lesson. Don't be Rod Parsley. Be the one I called you to be. Be yourself. The fire. A lot of times, that fire is burning that stuff out of us, learning us. God had to prepare a storm and a great fish to get the attention of Jonah, didn't he? Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah wanted God to just burn that city down. Wipe them all out. But how many know God got Jonah's attention? Because God got him where he wanted him to go. He wasn't too happy, but I believe when it was all said and done at the end of it, Jonah changed his tune. It's not easy wanting to be the servant for God to work through. People say, I want the anointing, but you don't realize there's a price to pay for the anointing. I want God to work through me. There's a price to pay for God to work through you. You got to fight some things in order for God to work through you. You don't get to where, I'm a pastor, but you don't, like I said, you don't become a pastor overnight. Time took me years to get positioned. But it's God. He'll work through us when He gets us to where He wants us to go. Understanding else, my final point, what it means. It means a death to self. To be a servant of God means it's not about me, but it's about Him. Let's see the words of John the Baptist in John 3 and 30. He said, John's word was, He must increase, but I must decrease. This is what people have an issue with. Decreasing and letting God have His way in their life. Because we don't want to get the self out of self. Some want the glory. Some want the name, the title. Yeah, guess who I am? I got this title. I'm this person. I'm this person. I got this position. I'm going to tell you something. God don't care about your title. I'm not in it for a title. Amen? You're looking for a title, you're in it for the wrong reason. You're looking for somebody to eat you up because of that, you're in it for the wrong reasons. Amen? You need to get back in the furnace for a little while or in the wilderness to get you out of you. John, this is what people have, they're decreasing. John said, I got to decrease where He can increase. Where it's no longer about what I want, but about Him. It's about Jesus tonight. Being a servant is all about Jesus tonight. Being one that God uses is all about Him tonight. Paul spoke these words in Galatians 2 and 20. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Notice crucifixion means a death to self. He said, I live yet not, but Christ liveth in me. What He was saying was, my life is all about Christ. What I do is for Him. That's a servant. It's what it means to be a servant. It's about Christ. Jazz, you can get ready to get Marcy. Paul also said these words to the Philippian church. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul, in essence, was saying, the whole purpose for me to live now is Jesus Christ, and to fulfill His will. See, you can go on and read in verse 23. Paul said he had a desire to depart. Not Philippians, but this world. He said, it'd be better for me if I go on to be with the Lord. If I go on to be in the presence of God, it'll be a whole lot better. He's telling the Philippian churches this. His desire was to go on to be with Christ. His desire was to go on to be with Him. He said, it'd be far better for me to go on there. But in Philippians 1 and 24, the words of the apostle said, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." The apostle showed his concern for the Philippians. And this ought to be for all believers as well. I'll tell you right now, this ought to characterize what Paul said right here. That every believer, every child of God, for me to abide in the flesh is more needful to you. In other words, it's more needful if I stay here and do the work of God and proclaim the work of God right now. Paul was wanting something different. Paul's desire was to go on to be with the Lord. There's been things in my life, I'd say it'd be better for me if I did this, better for me to do this. But then I realized it ain't so much about me, it's about what Christ wants. It's about being needful for others, what they need at this time. Eventually, God will take care of everything. Paul was telling the Philippian church that the will of God is about others. I don't care if they love you or hate you. Doing the will of God is about others. Amen? Amen? People need to get that tonight. This is what the will of God is all about. Not you. It's about God. It's about others. It's not about you. It's about what He wants. We miss it tonight. We want God to want what we want. But God is wanting us, the true will of God is to do what God wants. Amen? Years ago, I could have thought about 1,000 different things I'd rather be doing. Man, I'd want to be a professional wrestler. Did that for a little bit on the independent. That's the way it route I wanted to go. Didn't do that. I'd like to have been what you call one of them storm chasers. I'd like to chase tornadoes. That would be the coolest job I could think of. Exciting. I know people are looking at me like I'm crazy. I am. It would be. I'd like to go on one of them storm chases. Anybody else? If you ever watched that Reed Timmer, he used to have a program. He had a car. I thought this would be so exciting. He bought this car in metal. He set that thing down in the middle of a tornado. I said, my Lord. I said, could you imagine what it'd been like inside of that thing? That ain't what God wanted me to do. But I wouldn't change what God wanted me to do that now for nothing. See, God's got what He wants you to do. Not what you necessarily want to do, but what He wants you to do. God may not want you to stand behind a pulpit. He may want you just to hold a broom and sweep. But it's still the will of God. See, every position's important. See, there's different positions. Not everybody has the same position. Hello. That's the one thing you cannot get through people's heads. Everybody, just like there's different parts of the hand. How many know there's different fingers? There's different toes. But how many know they got to work together? They all got different functions, don't they? But they all work together. Listen, you say, well, I got the little toe. Well, be glad you got the little toe, because if you don't have the little toe, it would knock off your balance. All the positions are different. Everybody's got a different call. But it all works together for the body, for the head, for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? If it's done for the Lord, it works for Him. So don't complain what God's got you doing. It's exactly where He wants you to be. If he wanted you to do something else, he'd have you doing something else. If he wanted you pastoring, he'd move me and put you in here. Amen? Amen? But we all got a part in fulfilling the will of God. It's not one part important, more important than the other. No, we all work together to do the will. But I'm afraid this is the issue today as we get ready to close out. People just want to be seen. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're here and you got that issue, the only reason you want to do the work of God is to be seen, you've already lost your reward. Jesus said, you can get your reward before man. That's your reward. Amen? Some people do it just, I want a pulpit position just to be seen. You need to get out of the pulpit. Amen? God ain't in it. It's about fulfilling what he wants. Being able to be used by him. Being a vessel that God will work through. Everyone standing in here tonight. How many would say, I need to get the will of God in my life? God, help me discern the will. What is your will? Lord, am I going through the fire? If you're going through the furnace, you're on the potter's wheel today. Remember, God's working in you before he works through you. God, use me. How many would say, Lord, I want to be a servant. I want to be one that you can work through today. God, you may have to work in me before you walk through me. But use me here, oh God. Here am I, oh Lord. Here am I. Somebody that's willing to be a vessel for you, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. Pray for each one in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.